Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
In a brand new series at the beginning of this new year called My New View. And we started last week with this, and it really has to do with the fact that God wants to reset your perspective on what His plan is for your life this year. 2020 was a difficult year in just about every dimension of our journey together. And as a result, a lot of people began to settle into almost an overarching sense of fatigue and drain. And God said, I have done far too much for my people to live in a condition of drain. So let me reset your perspective and show you victory that I have for you, and it's all in the kingdom of God. And so we started that series last Sunday, and we actually talked about the power of perspectives. So today we're going to talk about new priority. That I not only do I see a new perspective of what God can do, He's going to align that new perspective and empower that and equip me to get into that new perspective by giving me some new priorities. Everyone say priorities. So let's do what we always do, and that is we set ourselves to receive from God because we worship Him in His scriptures. Pastor Josh was talking about this morning, really there are three primary expressions of worship that we collaborate with God with on the weekend worship services: singing, giving, and we meet Him in His scripture. And we ask Him to guide us in each of those worship expressions so that we're not just ritually doing religion, which is a dead-end street that goes nowhere fast. But we actually connect with God relationally and let Him lead us forward in what He has for us. So whether we're singing, whether we're giving or tithing, or whether we're meeting Him in Scripture, He leads us in all those expressions. So I'm going to ask that you would join me in prayer for this portion of the journey and say, God, I submit this next 30 minutes to Your hands for Your purpose and Your what You have to accomplish in me. And then let's let God do some heavy lifting this morning. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You in advance for Your faithfulness. You're such a good God. You're faithful. You make provision for everything we need for life and godliness. And so today, God, we ask that You would do what You promised in Your scripture You would do. And in Romans 12:2, New Living Translation, You said that we should not copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but to let You transform us into new people by changing the way we think. So to that end, God, we open our minds and we push pause on the course of thoughts that we have. We set those aside and say with a fresh perspective, God, speak to us today from Your Bible. We want You, we want Your word, we want Your guidance more than ever before. We thank You in advance for it in Jesus' name, everybody said. Amen. So if you're here on the campus or if you're streaming the service, wherever you happen to be streaming the service from, or you're in the overflow room, this is the time to get out something to capture what God's about to talk to you about. And if you'll capture what He talks to you about and actually then review that this week to make application to that, you'll watch God give you measurable growth in His plan for your life this week. So I want to just start by saying I've never been more grateful for God's active leadership in my life than I am this week. There's probably not a single person here in the facility or watching this the experience with us this morning on technology who was not keyed in with what was going on in our nation this week. Our nation is bitterly wounded, bitterly divided, and has never needed God more than we need Him right now. But if you look back on what God has been doing in our lives and in our journey, all through last year, God was actively ahead of us, leading us through that experience. And just think about what he led us into last year. Think about this. We started the year last year with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where God was giving us a relational focus and said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you where you don't know that you're going yet, but I'm going to ask you to trust me in this. So he started with a relational emphasis that we would trust Him in the journey of our life. And in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we were reminded that God said, if you'll do this, I'll actually guide you. If you'll acknowledge me in all your ways, I'll guide you. I'll make your path straight. As 2020 began to unfold, it became clearer and clearer how important that was. And all through the year, what God was doing was deepening our trust in him. He also gave us Judges 7, which is the story of how he worked through a leader named Gideon, who was actually working to prepare the army for its next battle. And in the approach to that, God was doing some things to actually realign a big chunk, the majority of that army, and put them in different modes so that a much smaller group of people would actually step into that spot for the next battle. And God gave us Judges 7 at the beginning of last year, which actually then began to have context as we moved through the year to see what God was doing. And we realized that God was saying, trust me, I lead my people and they win. I don't know about you, but at the end of 2020, my trust level was substantially higher than it was at the beginning of 2020. Not that I didn't trust him, but I look back across the year and realize, you know, God, when I look at all the twists and turns of that year, I realize you really were leading us ahead of time. And you were really providing guidance that we needed to have so that as we followed you, we were in position to experience what you have for us in your kingdom. You know, and it's far more than just a sermon. It was an actual experience God led us on. So I'm grateful for that. As we turned the corner into this year, God began to add to that foundation of trust. And now he says, I'm going to give you an operational focus. And that's what we talked about last week when we talked about this new perspective he has had for us to focus on. And that was found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We're going to refer to this a lot this year because this is the focal point that God has given us for this year. And based on what he did with us last year, I can hardly wait to see what this year turns out to be, because God is never surprised by anything. He doesn't stand in heaven and wring his hands and wonder, oh my, what am I going to do next? He's everywhere in time like he's everywhere in space, which means he's already working to provide everything we'll need as we keep moving forward. And I don't know about you, but that gives me great hope for tomorrow. So all I need to do is today make sure I'm aligned today with where he's asking me to be. So I'll be aligned for tomorrow, and I'll make that decision tomorrow. Does that make sense? So let's look one more time at Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. Jesus is teaching, and he says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So real quick reminder, he's identifying two different groups of people, one directly, the other by association. One is the Gentiles, which is a way of saying that the people who are not actively submitted to God and following him as their God. So he refers to them in this context as Gentiles. And he says, I want you to know that your Father knows that you, who is the other group of people, those who are following God, actually need the things he said don't worry about. And if you just look at the list, the eight or nine or ten list of essential needs that we all have, the top three are what he referenced. And so he says, I want you to know the Father knows that you need them, but I don't want you to worry about them. Here's what I want you to do. Verse 33 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. So he's basically saying, people who don't follow me actively pursue these things because they need them. He said, you, on the other hand, are going to pursue me in my kingdom, and I'm going to add them. You see the difference? One pursues them directly, the other pursues the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says, I'm going to add them. I'm going to teach you how I will facilitate through my kingdom the very things you need, and I'll add to you blessings that don't have sorrow with them. So the perspective we see is that if we seek God's kingdom and his righteousness as our first priority, everything we need will be added to our lives. So the primary perspective, that God is saying to us this year as a congregation, and by extension, that means you as an individual. So when he's speaking to us as a family, it's true he's speaking to all of us as a church family, whether we worship here in the facility every week or whether we're streaming the service online. We're all one big family because we're part of the LifeLink family. This is the family God's added us to, and he speaks to our church family and says, this is what I'm saying to you, my church. But the power of that is not simply the general address to the church itself as a collective. The power of your personal experience is when you actually hear, follow, and apply that in your own personal life, and that's when it becomes personally and powerfully experienced in your general direction as well. So what I want to do is go back to that directive, and he's saying, I'm going to add all these things if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what I want to do is actually look at the priority that he's putting on this. Notice he didn't just say, seek the kingdom of God and my righteousness and his righteousness, and I'll do this. He included the word first. Do y'all see the word first? If you're not sure it's there, let's take a look at that scripture one more time. Can we put that scripture back up on the screen? But seek first the kingdom of God. So he's really pointing to two specific things. One, the source of everything we need comes from him and his kingdom. And if we actually seek him and his kingdom, he provides it. But the key to that is not simply the seeking of him and his kingdom. It's the prioritization of seeking him and his kingdom. How many of you have ever been talking to somebody in a room, and the whole time you're talking to them, they're looking around and looking over your shoulder as if they're looking for someone else? How does it make you feel? Kind of like a bucket of warm spit, right? Like, ew. I don't feel important. I don't feel seen. I don't feel attended to. I don't feel cherished. I don't feel noticed. What would that do to your heart and to your posture? Did that really lean you into that conversation? No, of course not. What did it do? Kind of rocked you back in your heels a little bit. Like, who are you looking for? You're talking to me, but you're clearly not interested in me. And when it comes to God, everything in his kingdom works in relationship. So God is wanting us to know that he is committed to providing our needs, but the point is not the provision of our needs. The point's the relationship we have with him, because that's the key to everything in his kingdom. So first means third. No, first means first. Now, all of you wives, don't you want your husband to prioritize you first? Husbands, don't you want your wives to prioritize you first? All right? I'll never forget when we were raising our first daughter, who was leading you in worship this morning, Pastor Lacey. She was probably 3 or 4 years old, and there was a moment at which I was given the opportunity to help her understand the relational priorities of our home. Because she was vying for my attention, and she was trying to wedge herself between her mother and me. And I looked at her, and I said, see this lady right here? This is your mom, but she's my wife first. She's the most important person on the planet to me, and you're next. What was I doing? I was helping her understand that when it comes to relationships, she is first, you are second. Now that seems harsh, doesn't it? At first glance, it might seem a little bit harsh until you realize what happens in the mind of a child when that child realizes my mom and dad are covenanted to each other irrevocably. And the priority is that covenant. And then on top of that covenant is the family experience, and it's built on a solid foundation. Does that make sense? God is wanting us to know that when we prioritize him first, everything about his kingdom actually works on top of that. But first has to be first for it to work, which is why we're talking about the priorities. So I want to speak this morning about the principle of priorities, give you a couple of fill-ins as we move along. Number one, write this down. My life moves along the tracks of my priorities. My life moves along the tracks of my priorities. If you think about it, life moves down the flow of the choices we make. We choose our way through every day. The minutes of every day, we choose how do we spend them. The resources of relationships, of opportunities, of finance, all the different resources we have that comes through our influence, we choose how we spend or allocate those resources. We choose our way through every day. And we ultimately end up today as the sum total of the choices we make up to this point. Does that make sense? I'll say that again. We're experiencing today, you are, the sum total of the choices you've made to get to today. You may be thinking, well, I didn't choose to have an automobile accident. I didn't choose to have a spouse walk out of me. I didn't choose to have an illness or a disease that our family dealt with. And I understand that, and I'm not trying to make light of that. But even in the hardest of circumstances, we choose how we respond to those. Does that make sense? So whether things happen to you that you didn't choose, or whether you're experiencing results of things you choose, ultimately, your choice has had a profound influence of getting you to where you are today. You are largely responsible for the experience you're having today. Is that harsh? We kind of want somebody else to be responsible, don't we, so we can blame people for our discomfort. But the bottom line is, we're responsible for the choices we make. Which is really, really good. You know why? Because we can choose differently. If you don't like what you're experiencing, you can choose differently. And God is wanting you to understand this morning that largely what's going on is you're making choices based on things you're focused on, which is why he's giving you a new perspective. He says, I'm going to challenge you this year to seek my kingdom first and my righteousness. Why? Because I know if you prioritize my kingdom and my righteousness, the way I've designed everything to work on planet Earth in the kingdom, in my kingdom actually flows to you. Do y'all follow that? I want to think just briefly about some categories of how we do this. Every day we wake up in the morning with the same allocation of minutes that everybody else gets. How do you choose to spend them? We have opportunities that present themselves to us. How do we choose based on the response on the opportunities that are presented to us? We have finances that flow through our lives because that's how our culture works right now. And in this day and age, the kingdom of God, the principles of the kingdom of God is how do you steward the finances that come through your hand? What about the people you choose to associate with, the relationships you're choosing to build? I'll talk more about this next week because this is a big part of how God designed his kingdom to work. But the choices we make really are the tracks that our life runs down. One more time, just for context. The choices we make are the tracks that our life runs down. Got it? They're largely made on our priorities. And when it comes to priorities, many people struggle in two different areas. I want to talk about two challenges that people have when it comes to priorities. I hope you catch some of this because you might find that you fit in one of these categories. One is the absence of intentional priorities. The absence of intentional priorities. What am I implying? Everybody has priorities, and you can see what your priorities are based on the choices you make. If you look at your bank statement at the end of every month, when you get your statement, you can see what your priorities are. If you look at your calendar or the way you allocate your time, you can see what your priorities are. You have priorities. Most people don't have intentional priorities. Most people don't have intentional priorities. People drift through life based on the whims of momentary desires. The problem with that is we don't drift in good directions. I don't know if you've ever realized this, but you don't normally drift in good directions. We discipline and prioritize ourselves towards good directions. If you've never been taught this before, I want you to know if you're drifting, you're in trouble. Life doesn't work in drift unless you're a small Japanese car. And then some of those drift really well. God's trying to get your attention on something this morning, and I hope you're really listening. If you gave up in 2020 and you're just along for the ride, God's going to jerk the slack out of you and say this morning, hey, stop drifting. You don't drift into good stuff. You discipline and prioritize your way to good stuff. People who drift their way through life find their energy and resource potential dissipating by trying to move in too many directions and doing too many things at one time. People who live their life in drift have a numbing sameness that just kind of settles on their life, and they drift from one TV series to the next TV series, watching whatever it is that just happens to come on and numbing their life away. But God says, you are my bride. You're my kingdom people. You're my ambassadors on this planet. I don't want my people drifting. I called you to be purpose-driven, oriented, so, for the sake of my kingdom, but not just the sake of my kingdom, for the sake of your benefit. And it doesn't matter to me whether you're 16 years old listening this morning, or if you're 66 years old or 96 years old this morning. The principles are exactly the same. Drifting never goes anywhere good. Discipline and priority is how we actually find ourselves moving into what God's created us to accomplish. In the end, people who drift through life accomplish nothing of significance, wasting their lives on things that don't matter at all. So, if you're drifting, 2020 was a good reason to find yourself perhaps in that mode. It's understandable, but this is 2021. This is a new day. This is a new season. This is a new era. This is a new beginning. God says, stop drifting. Now, some of you aren't drifting, but some of you are. If you are, hear what God's saying to you, and let's figure out how to stop. That makes sense? So when it comes to priorities that are dysfunctional in people's lives, some people do not have intentional priorities. They're just drifting. But a second category of dysfunctional priorities are people with misplaced priorities. Write that down, misplaced priorities. A misplaced priority is one that gives you focus, but it's aimed at something that's not significant or not consequential. In other words, it's not aligned with what God's called you to be or called you to accomplish. So you may be successful in what it is, but it's like climbing to the top of a ladder at the top of a tall building and realizing the ladder was leaned up against the wrong building. You may succeed, it's just when you get there, you realize it's not what God called you to accomplish. Does that make sense? So whether it's I don't have intentional priorities, I'm not paying attention to what my priorities are, or I have misplaced priorities, if you find yourself in either of those two situations this morning, let me just remind you, write this down, I choose my priorities. I choose my priorities. You don't choose your calling. You don't choose what God created you to be or created you to accomplish. That's what God does. But we are responsible for what we choose to prioritize, and we are the ones that make those choices. Do y'all follow that? Said another way, we are not victims of our priorities. Nobody chose your priorities for you this morning. You may think, well, I live with a heavy-handed, oppressive personality. I understand that there are really complex and challenging relational dynamics, but at the end of the day, we all still choose our priorities. You are not powerless. You're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. You're God's kingdom ambassador. You have authority to make choices for your own life. So choose well. Did y'all hear that piano? Jazzy, isn't it? We choose our priorities and we get the life that those priorities take us towards. So when it comes to the principle of priorities, the first thing I'm hoping to impress upon you this morning is your life moves along the tracks of your priorities. Are we good with that? Okay, the second thing I want to bring to you this morning is this. Vision lays the tracks of constructive priorities. If priorities are what takes my life towards my ultimate experience, then how do I make sure I'm laying the tracks out the right way? And that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of today's message. The process of vision-driven priorities. I want to talk about the function the vision has in priorities. Looking at Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Today's context, I'm talking about people who live a wasted life built on choices made at the whims of fleeting desires. Where there is no vision, people perish. In other words, you choose your way all the way to nothing. The NIV translation of that says this: where there is no revelation or vision, people cast off restraint. So here's what I'm wanting to impress with you on this particular aspect of how vision affects the way priorities work. Vision can produce a restraining effect on priorities that we actually choose for ourselves. So instead of being blown around by the whims of the moment, we can actually say, what's the vision that I have? What's the vision God's shown me? What's the direction that he's called me to pursue? How is he leading my life? What's that vision look like? And then how do I take that vision and then constrain the choice that I make so that as I choose my way through the winds of the moment, I'm not blown around all over the place, wasting my life on something that doesn't matter at all. But instead, I stay focused on what God's called me to be and what he's called me to accomplish so that the choices that I make continue to move me towards the success he's created me to have. Does that make sense? Another common verse that we often refer to when it comes to the function of vision is Habakkuk 2, verse 2, New King James Version. There is a rich context happening here, but the transferable principle still remains the same. So let me bring this to you this way. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision down and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. You may have heard that scripture before, maybe you haven't, but God is basically saying, here's the way that vision works. I'm going to show you something, then you have a response ability to what I show you. I'm going to show you vision. I'm going to show you direction. I'm going to give you a calling. I'm going to put something in front of you. I'm going to actually make my will for you known. It's called vision. But then you have a response ability in order to do that, do with what I've given you, that actually then becomes your part in moving towards that. The responsibility starts with me capturing the vision. What has God called me to be, and what has he called me to accomplish? I've got to write that vision down and then make it plain. I love how he says on tablets. I think that was a prophetic look into the technology future that we're experiencing right now. I happen to feel like God probably is an iPad guy. I don't know about your particular opinion on that, but we could laugh a little bit about that if we want to. Funny, I'm preaching off of a tablet today. I wrote the vision clearly on the tablet. We're running with the vision. Y'all needed a break for a second. I'm going to ask them to put this on the screen and leave it up for a minute while you write this down. Writing down the vision identifies the priorities needed to achieve it. Writing down the vision identifies the priorities needed to achieve it. Writing down the vision identifies the priorities needed to achieve it. So we need to know the vision, but as we write it down and then make it plain, it begins to outline the priorities that are needed to get there. For example, let's say God's called you to be an author. God wants you to write a book. How many of you in here feel like God's called you to write a book? Okay, there's no problem with that. That's a good thing, all right? So if that's the vision that God's giving you, what are some of the things that will be necessary in order for you to write the book? You actually have to write the book, right? So it's not enough just to know you're called to be an author. At some point, you need to write the book. But a lot of times people go, hey, I'm supposed to write a book. This actually happened to me last year. I was, at the beginning of the year, really challenged to start writing a book. I carried in my heart the whole time, write a book. I have an outline written, but not a book. I got to looking back at my calendar and realized, oh, here's why I got to the end of the year 2020 and the book is not here. There's no block of time on my calendar that says, write the book here. Does that make sense? Can I learn out loud in front of you guys? Is that okay if I'm learning too? Are we good with that? I don't have to be perfect, right? We can be there. because we're all in process together. So the idea is, it's one thing to know what the vision is, but if you don't actually write it down, you probably aren't going to drift your way into getting it done either. Right? But we'll feel good about it. Like you may have some health goals. Once you have a clear health goal, you usually feel good about it for the first 30 minutes. Like, now I know exactly what I'm aiming at. And then the next time that thought comes about, hey, have a donut, you're like, oh, man, that donut would be so good right now. Right? As we're working our way through this morning, my intention is to equip you with perspective that God's giving us week by week this year, so we follow him into what God's called us to be, who he's called us to be, and what he's called us to accomplish. Why? So we don't get to the end of the year 2020 and actually miss out on what God wanted to do this year with us. Writing down the vision identifies the priorities needed to achieve it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but answer on the inside. How many of you have ever heard a message like this before? It's okay if you want to raise your hand. You can do that too. Okay. Probably most of us have heard messages like this before. In fact, probably most of us know all of this without a whole lot of deviation. Most of what we cover today is not brand new, aha, is it? But the knowing of it is not enough. Because many of you are like, I already know all this. I already know all this. I already know all this. The question is, yes, but have you written the vision down? And have you written down the steps it will take for you to accomplish the vision? Have you made it plain? Because if you've not written it down and you've not identified the steps or the priorities that are the sequence of priorities it takes to get you to that step, you're probably going to watch another year go by. So our commitment as a church family to you is this. We don't want to enable us as friends and family just to let the months go by. We want to look at each other and say, what's God challenged you to accomplish this year? What's God called you to accomplish this year? What's he developing in you this year? How can we come alongside of you and actually see that with you? Maybe we can synergize with each other and help each other towards the goals. But the reality is, most of it probably won't get done unless you're willing to actually write it down and make it plain. It's not on the screen, but let me read James 1:22 to you in the NIV. It says this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In other words, there is this interesting phenomenon that happens to all of us. When we envision a goal, we get inspired by that goal. We feel the movement of in our soul and in our mind with the idea of accomplishing that goal. It inspires us. We get excited about it. Other things begin to flow. Our creativity begins to fire. We imagine what it's like, what it would be like to open that new business. We imagine what it's like to start that new relationship. We imagine what it's like to have that new baby. We imagine what it's like to whatever your vision is that God's given you. We imagine what that feels like. And it begins to produce in us a sense of movement towards that. God designed us to do that. Why? We move towards what we focus on. It's how God designed us to work. But a lot of times people get deceived into thinking, okay, I'm feeling good about it now. I must be accomplishing something. The reality is, you're not accomplishing anything until you actually start doing what you actually hear or see in that vision. Y'all follow it? So when it comes to priorities, number one, the principle of priority is this: my life moves along the tracks of my priorities. The process of vision-driven priorities is this: vision lays the tracks of constructive priorities. Number three, though, this is where it really comes down to you. You have to decide which vision to pursue. In other words, you're pursuing a vision inside right now. You may not realize it. It may be unclear. It may be misplaced. Your priorities may be all out of whack. You may not even know what your priorities are because you're just drifting through life. But you're choosing right now what that looks like. You're choosing that experience. Which is one of the reasons why God said, listen, I know everyone was whipped in some way by 2020. But in 2021, it's a new year. I have a new view for you this year. Let me speak that over you this morning. Listen, open your heart and let me just minister to you this morning. God is saying, as impossible as your circumstance may have looked in 2020, it's not impossible to me. I can do everything. I can do all things that are necessary for your life, God is saying to you. Nothing is impossible for me. Open your spirit and hear that again this morning. Nothing is impossible to God. Here's the limit. We put the limit on God with what we choose to accept, believe, or receive from God. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. And He's everywhere, which means He, with His power, is in the middle of your circumstance and He's present to do anything necessary for it to help you accomplish what He's called you to be and called you to accomplish. In His kingdom, there is nothing that's impossible. So God is saying, will you let me lead you into what I've created you to be and accomplish this year? And the way we're going to do that is letting God prioritize His kingdom again in our mind first. When it comes to pursuing vision, we usually get this one wrong if we simply try to figure out what we want. Our wanters are completely jacked up most of the time. Have you figured that out yet? Like, I almost never want celery. My body needs celery and carrots. What I want are chicken wings with hot sauce, like real hot, that you can dunk in ranch to tame the heat just a little bit and then chase it with a Diet Pepsi or Diet Coke. I'm not committed to just the diet, whatever. I'll just take whatever because it's all in the diet that makes you skinny, see? What am I saying? Our wanters usually are really messed up. But most of us make choices based on our wanter, which is why we whimsically just float through life based on whatever happens to show up on the next idea. But God said, not this year. Not this year. I'm going to help you reprioritize the perspective that you have in life so you pursue my kingdom first and my righteousness. Looking again at Matthew 6:31-33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Let me give you some really practical stuff now. We've been talking about some principles, some high-level ideas. Let me give you some really practical stuff now. Write these down. Number one, in order for you to really flow into what God's giving us this year as a focus and a promise, I need to choose to yield to God and His ways for my life. That's a choice I'm going to have to make. I'm either going to continue doing what I've been doing, which is just floating on the whims of my kind of desires in the moment, or I'm going to actually learn how to prioritize what God's doing, but it's a choice I'm going to have to do to yield to what He's saying. What that means is He's probably going to challenge you to say no to the things you were saying yes to that were really interesting or entertaining or satiating or any number of sensory resolution ideas. God may be saying to you, I'm going to challenge you to say no to some of the things that used to make you feel really good in the moment but aren't good for you at all and pursue my kingdom. What does that mean, Pastor Dave? He may tell you to stop staying up till 1 o'clock in the morning watching Netflix. Ah, gotcha. Or got your spouse or your kids. I'm not sure, but I heard some response there. God may tell you, go to bed at 10 o'clock and sleep. Why? I'm going to need you to have rest to be able to focus the next day. Caffeine won't do it. I need you actually rested so you can truly focus and accomplish what I've called you to accomplish. God may challenge you to realign some relationships that aren't godly, that they make you feel good about yourself, but you're trapped in a prison of sameness, and God's like, nope, I've got something more for you, so I'm going to reorient your relationships. Does that make sense? You're going to have to choose. But you know what I know about you? You're going to choose well. You know why? Because it's time. It's time. But you'll have to choose to yield to God and His ways for your life. The Lordship of Christ and the kingdom priority first this year. Number two, God wants you to root yourself where He plants you. To root yourself where He plants you. Plants never grow strong and big who keep jumping out of the soil they're planted in. You got to root in where He plants you. Why? Because there's something He wants to do in you that you don't know how to do yourself, but He'll do it in the context of that family that He puts you in. So root where He planted you. Most of you here today in this facility, except perhaps some of you that may be visiting this morning or perhaps watching online, but most of you associate LifeLink as your home church family. You know what? Plant here. What does that mean? Go all the way in. Don't just sit on the top waiting for the next opportunity that looks cool that comes down the line. Say, God, if you planted me here, there's got to be something here that you need in me that I don't know how to do myself, so I'm going to root myself in. Hey, let me just talk to you for a quick second on a practical application. You heard Pastor Josh and you saw Pastor Tiffany mouthing these words, but let me refocus on Growth Track again. You know why we do Growth Track? Growth Track is to give people perspective of who God created LifeLink to be as a church family. So you'll know if He's actually called you to plant here. Does that make sense? Because planting means coming into agreement with, so that I'm able to receive in agreement with what God's created this place to be. You're like, Pastor Dave, I don't know if I want to go to a class. You may be watching online like, I'm not sure I want to go through an online class. Can I just tell you something? 300 minutes is not a big deal. Growth Track is 4 weeks long, 75 minutes a class. I think that's 300 minutes. But I'm telling you, 300 minutes can change your life. Why? Because God will show you something in that journey. You'll get a nuance. There'll be an aha. There'll be a discovery. It's like, oh, that's something that's tied to this season. But if you don't actually take that step, you'll just simmer along the top of LifeLink and you'll think, oh, this was kind of cool this week. I like that sermon. I like that song. I don't like that guy. I think I'm going to go to the next church and look. Which is totally your prerogative, but I will tell you this, you'll never grow as strong as you need to be until you really root in deep into what God's planted you in. So I'm going to make a compelling case again, in case you were just thinking maybe you might consider Growth Track today or next week. 75 minutes, 4 weeks in a row. Is that really too much to ask? I guarantee you there's something here that God's going to show you. You're going to record whatever you want to watch when you get home anyway. You can reschedule that lunch. In fact, you'll be out by lunchtime. Just tell people you're going to meet for lunch. I'm going to be there a little bit late. Order me the cheeseburger and the wings. Pastor Dave said, as long as I dip it in ranch and have a diet soda, it's all good. It's 300 minutes. You think, would a little choice like that really make a difference? Yes. I'll put it back in one of my favorite contexts again, then I got to wrap up because we're almost out of time. I don't know why, but a lot of life relates to me either in relationships or food. When I get to heaven, I'm going to tell God, thank you for food. I mean, ribs, come on. Oh, my goodness. Then I'm going to complain. God, why'd you make it taste so good? Because I wanted too much of it. But let me tell you a little bit about micro choices. Micro choices actually matter. For example, I referenced a minute ago wanting donuts. I almost always want donuts. I like the kind that look normal, except they have a chocolate layer on top of it, and they're a little bit warm. I like it with ice cold milk. I figured out you can take donuts out of the box and put it in the microwave for 8 seconds. It makes it perfect. Not nine and not six, eight. And I eat every bite of that donut, and it just tastes so good. And here's what I figured out. I can eat a donut and not die. It's the craziest thing. I'll eat a donut. I check myself. Pulse still there. Still good. I think I'll have another one. See? Why? It's a micro choice. That donut didn't kill me. It must not be that bad. Here's the problem. 54 years of donuts eventually shows up. Right? My pancreas is talking to me a little bit. The inflammation of the lining of the cells of my arteries are talking to me a little bit. My doctor's yelling at me all the time. Why? Because one donut didn't kill me, but the fact that I would have one donut means I'm willing to have another one. It's a micro choice. Does that make sense? So God may be saying to you, hey, I'm going to ask you to switch some of your micro choices. Does that make sense? It's not for the experience of the moment. You may go to Growth Track today and go, that was a boring class. But you're in line for the next week. And everybody loves class three. Class two is good. Class one's amazing. Class three is really cool. But actually going today will put you in line for next week. I just want to bring home to you that God talks to us in big, weighty ideas that often have little tiny steps that it takes to actually get to the big ideas. And we miss the big ideas because we're not willing to take the little steps. So God may be calling in some little changes for you today. Next thing is, I want you to write down a plan prioritizing what God shows you. I want you to write down a plan prioritizing what God shows you. So we're going to choose to yield to God and His ways for life. Root yourself where God plants you. Write down a plan prioritizing what God shows you. When it comes to that relationship, He's probably going to say, I want you to spend time with me every day. One of the ways we do that at LifeLink Church and equip people to do that is through our spiritual journal and a program we use called SOAP, which it really stands for the scripture that God meets you in, the observation He gives you, the application of that observation, and a prayer making it personal. These are available for you at the Information Center, Guest Connect and the Information Center on the way out today if you don't have that. And for those of you that are online, it's at our church website. Just search SOAP at LifeLink Church. It takes you right there to it. Worship. You know, here's what I know. I'm looking at all of you that are here today. I'm looking at all of you that are streaming the service online today. Here's what I know. You're here. You chose to be here today. You chose to engage today. Here's what I know. I also know there's lots of people that chose not to be here today. The reality is, choosing not to be in worship won't send you to hell that next minute. Right? Because our participation with God relationally does not depend exclusively on how many times we show up at a worship service. But I will tell you this, a lack of prioritizing worship eventually will show up in your life. It'll for sure show up in your children's life. Parents, let me ask you for a second, what are your kids watching you? How are your children watching you prioritize participation in the church family God's called you to be a part of? Do they watch you come in and out, never engage, never connect, never serve, never collaborate, never participate? You're modeling for them the very thing that they're going to experience. Micro choices really matter over time. So I want you to write that down. I'd encourage you, in my calendar, we actually have, I know I work at LifeLink Church, it's part of my job, but on my calendar, I actually have worship 9:30. On Sunday mornings. Why? Well, in part, I know it's my job and I'm accountable for that, but the reality is it's a kingdom priority for me. I could work somewhere else if I wanted to, but I don't. Why? This is what God's called me to. Does that make sense? How many of you, I'm not going to ask, but if you don't have it written in your calendar, you ought to write it every Sunday at 9:30. I worship at LifeLink, if LifeLink's where you're at and where LifeLink's planted you. Same thing for those of you that worship online. 9:30, I'm not just chilling like a villain stretched out on my couch. I'm trying to rhyme like the cat in the hat, but it's not working. No, I've got my tablet, I've got my notes, I've got my coffee right there so I stay awake. I'm zoned in, I follow along, I sing, I give, I study, I write down, I note. Why? Just because you're not here in the building doesn't mean you can't actually engage. Does that make sense? So we see you. You're an important part of this. But the same is for you too. Prioritize it. Last part of this is this. Commit to be accountable for the vision that you've written down. Commit to be accountable for the written vision plan that you wrote down. Commit to be accountable for the written vision plan. Four simple steps, micro choices really, that will make a measurable difference in the momentum and direction of your life this year in the kingdom of God. You will never do this alone. Why? Because left alone, you're in an unaccountable connection. Eventually, you'll start doing what you want on the inside. God uses accountability in relationships to keep us strong. So be accountable. What's the promise? Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God wants to do something spectacular in your life this year. You guys ready for it? God is so good. I can hardly wait to see what God does with us this year. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. You're such a good God. Right now, Lord, our minds have been stirred. Our hearts have been inflamed with vision, God. We've been inspired with the big idea of how important priorities really are. The importance of big decisions and the importance of micro choices. And we want to say thank you for that. Now, God, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person here in the building, in the overflow rooms, God, those that are streaming the service online, I pray right now for a divine encounter with your spirit, that you would connect with them and infuse in them a faith, a belief, a trust, a hope, that following you as you've created us to be and called us to align our lives with you will produce in us the very fruit of the kingdom of God this year. I come against spirits of hopelessness and despair and despondency. I bind you in Jesus' name. I declare that you must let go of the minds of people that you've entrenched yourself into this past year. And in place of that mindset, I declare a new faith and childlike trust in your spirit. Right now, I want to connect with those of you who know you need to say yes to Jesus. And just start a fresh posture of saying yes to his lordship. If you know you need to open your heart to the leadership and lordship of Jesus Christ today as your living God and Savior. Today, you're one choice away from making a decision to change your life forever. Right where you are there online, right where you are here in the building, I want to encourage you to search your heart and say, am I ready to say yes to Jesus? To turn away from living a selfless, a selfish, self-centered life, but actually begin to follow him in a life that Jesus bought with his own blood to redeem me from the grip of sin and the stain of that death. If that's you today, I'm going to ask that you would be willing in a moment just to say with your mouth words that your heart's already saying, because you believe on the inside that Jesus is big enough to do what he said he came to do. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and say, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and raised him from the dead, you'll actually be born again. You'll be saved. So if you're ready to say yes to Jesus in a life-saving way, I'm going to ask that you repeat this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on Calvary's cross to pay for my sins. I'm asking you to wash me, cleanse me, forgive me, make me new. Today, I turn my life around. I leave my old life of sin and choose to follow you in new life. I receive you in my heart and into my life as my God and my Savior, my Lord, from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. Come on, let's celebrate.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.